Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Ross T. Mascagni. And on the panel this evening, we have Professor Amin-Ra, Ernest McBride Jr., and Brother Mashinda. Our guest this evening is Brother Kwabena, one of our team members. And Brother Kwabena always bring these interesting topics to the platform, and it's mixed in with activism and bravery, I would say. And I'm always in awe of what he does, and he's resilient. So, Brother Kwabena, welcome back again, and let's do this and get this information from you, man. Thank you for being here.
Appreciate you all for having me again and giving me a chance to talk about a few things on this Earth Day. I just left an Earth Day program over at East Chicago High School with some unions just talking about this environment and doing better. This is the big steel area, and the Japanese company Nippon, they bought the steel mill out here and just trying to get them to utilize the new methods of making steel without all that pollution. So we've been on that for a minute out here. But man, last week, I didn't get a chance to be on with you all, but I heard that the show with my homeboy out here, not too far from me, Craig Hodges from Chicago Heights and Long Beach State. That was pretty cool. So this was kind of like on that a little bit. This is dealing with the NBA. The NBA has no shame. They tripping and promoting stripping, etc. Etc. So it was about a year ago, brother, when we were out in front of the crypto arena demonstrating because Steph Curry, as a matter of fact, the Warriors were in town to play the Lakers. And we had some Warriors out there demonstrating because Steph Curry is executive producer of this ratchet, supposedly tribute to Good Times. 50 years later, came out in 74, and in 2024, he came out with Good Times Black Again, an animated Beyond Minstrel show depicting the Evans family who lived in the Cabrini Greens project in Chicago, depicting them still there with a 2-year-old baby slinging drugs, 12-year-old girl, or 11-year-old, she was having her first cycle, using that cycle blood to write on the chalkboard and actually throwing it in the face of a classmate. And that's just one of the 10 episodes. We were out there about a year ago demonstrating that because the NBA did not sanction Stephen Curry at all. They didn't say anything at all pretty much for that. N-bombs all in there, calling our sisters bees. It's a horrible depiction of a black family. And nobody, hardly nobody liked that crap. But the work we did along with Singletap and others, at least we got them not to have a second season because they did not have a second season on that mess. But unfortunately, I had a cousin just recently tell me, man, he just saw it. And he was like, man, I see what y'all was talking about. So it's still up. They still have it up there. So we still got to struggle to get it off. That was a victory that they didn't do a second season of that. But it's still up there. And there's so much information about how horrible that is. So if you get a chance to check out some of the podcasts, the ones we did on CN Network and others, myself, James McIntosh, and we even have footage from when we were out there in New York and in LA. Couple times on the same day demonstrating against that madness. So the NBA has been tripping for a while. I wanted to start off talking about this re ratchet relationship with the NBA. And we think about, man, I saw that saying, we all, I heard you guys again on with Craig talking about hoops a lot. I'm a hooper too. And I'm not as probably not, I'm a hooper too. I mean, right now I'd still go to the gym and give me 100 makes in before I get out, even at this point, before I get out of there. Whatever workout I got to do, I got to get the makes in. And I heard y'all talking about them three pointers. Professor Ra, I said you was that was pretty funny about you. I was shooting Ross County. That was pretty funny, but that was cool. But other conversations about basketball and right now, I'm just this is my time of year, and I've been like that since shoot. I was back in the 70s, just NBA fanatic, and especially when it came to playoffs. Try not to miss any playoff games, and I'm still like that when it comes to professional basketball. I'm more so professional, even in college. Even though I do enjoy the college also, but This whole issue that you all know we've been dealing with for a while with the Clean Air Race Project and its ratchetness is just so far into the NBA right now that it's just pretty sad, and it's been like that for a while. There's a picture, when we do a presentation on the history of the NBA, it shows Jay-Z and Foxy Brown and LeBron James. When LeBron had to be like a rookie or right around there, my brother been in the league, what is it now, 21 years? Maybe more than that, but you know, I just saw that slab, huh?
I think
23 years.
Yeah.
That slam he did the other night, we just took it and then reversed it. It was that same slam Darnell Hillman did. I'm gonna take you way back, back when he won the slam dunk contest, the first one, when they went over to the NBA. Darnell Hillman did something like that, same cradle and over the head slam way back then. And LeBron, you know, still doing it right now. But there's a picture of him, again, with Jay-Z and Foxy Brown. And, you know, we just lost my comrades, my Jigna, you know, and just one of the brothers, man, brother Bob Law, not too long ago. And when we were working with the National Black Leadership Alliance and Bob Law, we put out these documents. It was how do we go from this to that? And we talked about how do we go from Shining Star to one of the ratchet songs by 21 Savage, and how do we go from this song to that song? And one of the most beautiful songs ever made about a woman, was a song from the Four Tops called "Ain't No Woman Like the One I Got." You know, just amazing song. What I'm so like about it, because we know Levi could blow stubs, just one of the best singers ever, and just. Levi can go. But all the brothers in the Four Tops got a line in that one. You know, all of them, Farouk, Brother Benson, Obi, and the brother who helped Marvin get right, What's Going On? I mean, all of them singing on that song. And so how do we go from Ain't No Woman Like the One I Got to Ain't No End Like the One I Got? And that's with Jay-Z and Foxy Clown.
That's right.
Huh?
I said, sewn together like a hand in glove.
Yeah, like
paint. No woman like the one I love.
Yeah. She can build me up when it's down. I'm going put a little. Man, I love that song. And so, and they go from that to Ain't No End Like the One I Got. No one can F me better. And that's a song that really like just lifted Jay-Z to the level he's on now. Billionaire, multi-billionaire level. And Foxy Brown, we call her Foxy Clown. We got nicknames for her, so hopefully no disrespect, but that's not worse than them calling us ends and her a B, or herself calling herself a B. But then, you know, she starts fading out after that. And again, LeBron is on this picture with them two. And so I fast forward, I was watching it, the championship in 2013 when Miami beat Dallas. I believe it was the Mavericks they beat that year. And they did a post-game interview. I think he just got awarded the MVP from Bill Russell. And he ended up with, "I ain't got no worries." And I was kind of appalled because right at that point, we had really started getting deep into our demonstrations at the radio station. And one of the songs we would use as an example was a song by Lil Wayne called "No Worries." And this song, I had it queued up ready to share some of it with you, but I can't because we, even as us as being adults, we can't listen to the lyrics on there. But LeBron is obviously, that's where he's coming from when he says that I ain't got no worries. That's like the chorus of the song. Well, Lil Wayne talks about, you know, her throat and her vagina sore. It's just a horrible, wretched song. But that's the thing he says after he gets the MVP. And we pointed out a couple years ago, after Kyrie Irving was sanctioned by the league for sharing a video or a link to a video that Amazon was distributing that offended a group of people. Again, Kyrie got sanctioned. He was made to apologize, talk to the people in JDL, wherever they were from, with some sensitivity training or something like that. And again, got a serious fine. And then again, we go back to the type of music and what they be playing at the games, when you go to the games, the type of artists they bring to their NBA games, at the All-Star games. The Migos, I can't think of the name of the song by the Migos, but it was a song about killing people, that they're slanging drugs, and they invite them to the NBA All-Star game to be one of the groups that are performing at their All-Star game celebration. We go back to Ja Morant. Ja Morant, listen to the, as a rapper, y'all heard of NBA Youngboy. His name is NBA Youngboy. Not for National Basketball Association, but it was for Never Broke Again, is what he called himself. NBA Youngboy has had our children bewildered since probably 2000, it was probably 2018 or 19 when I asked my little niece about him, and she just loved him at that time. So we did a little deeper into his songs and what his music, just violent, just, you know, no respect for women. I think he got probably about 6 or 7 babies with multiple baby mamas, and just the typical, you know, we use as example one song we talked about, Shooting You in Your Face, that they played on the radio out here and all over. But basically, just a rapper who just raps about just shooting and killing people. And so Ja Morant is listening to him when he's shown with that gun in that video. That's who he's listening to when you hear, listen to, when you see the clip of him with the gun. It's an NBA Youngboy song. And he does it again when he was in Denver this time. And so they suspended him for quite a while. However, that following year, you know, we know we got the Ball Brothers from LA. We got, you know, LaMelo, and we got Lonzo. There's also a brother they call Jello Ball. Jello didn't make the league. Jello, but he did make a rap song. And his rap song was called Tweaker. They haven't heard from him from no rap song since. But the song Tweaker, highlighted and pushed by Lucian Grange. When we talk about these issues of oppressed people, we can't let the oppressor off the hook. So Lucian Grange is one of the, Sir Lucian Grange, they call him now, one of them demons from somewhere in England. I don't know if he's a Zionist or not, I'm not sure. But he greenlighted this song from Jello Ball. And so he's performing at the All-Star game in 2025 last year in the song Tweaker. In the song Tweaker, again, he talks about, you know, shooting ends. The end bomb is dropped all throughout the song. He even has a part of the song where he said his trust is in God, his Glock, and cash. So, again, the NBA sanctions Ja Morant for this, but yet you have Jello Ball at a concert for the All-Star game. This is what he's doing, and this is what they're doing. They're allowing this. Just recently, there was a issue with the Atlanta Hawks. They were playing the Magic, I think it was like March 16th or something of this year, and they decided they're going to have a strip club night, a Magic City night at the Omni at an NBA All-Star game. So the people went with it. Our rapper brother D1. D1 is a conscious artist who has been really outspoken when it comes to the negativity in hip hop, the negativity in rap. So D1 led a campaign, and others followed up, calling the Hawks, calling the NBA. And so they end up canceling that strip club night with Magic City, and also the rapper T.I. T.I. still performed. The ratchet rapper T.I. still performed. Fresh off his big feud with 50 Cent, which is, again, another ridiculous feud that they're having, that they've been having, I guess, trying to sell records or whatever. But it was just totally ridiculous, and what they were saying about each other and each other's children and wives, and just ridiculous. So, got it canceled. But I'm watching the game the other night. We're all into the playoffs now, and as we know, Orlando came back in, not Orlando, I'm sorry, they did too, but Atlanta, on that second game, they beat the Knicks, right? And so I'm watching the follow-up to this, and it was Stephen, not Stephen A. Smith, but Stephen, the brother that played for San Antonio, then Indianapolis. That's on that podcast with that's on the podcast. But Steve is talking about how they're gonna be in Atlanta.
Steven Jackson.
Partying in Atlanta at Magic City. Just now he's bringing up the strip club again. In Atlanta, you know, some of the excuses. And another interesting thing about this, and I was kind of glad last night, but they ended up getting they lost also. The only, and I mean the only NBA player I heard speak out against the strip club night was Luke Kornet, European center. He played for Boston, now plays for San Antonio. I didn't hear none of the Africans, all these Africans in the league, I didn't hear any of them say this is inappropriate. Our children are going to be here. You know, this is disrespectful to our women, because if you get them in the city, I've asked some people, it's like at least 90% of the sisters in there dancing are African sisters stripping. Stripping. We were at yesterday, and Gary, they had this program at the school doing this sex trafficking and kidnapping sisters. And, you know, so we went there and participated, but there were some victims there, some people there who were talking about things that had happened to them along this line. And it was a pretty interesting conversation. And I didn't get a chance to speak because again, they did not bring up the fact that this music is an issue. But a while back, we worked with a group called Rage Against the Ratchet based in Philadelphia with the Clear Airways Project and the National Black Leadership Alliance. But Rage Against the Ratchet. And Brother Carvin Hagens, who's a successful Grammy Award winning record producer, helped found that along with his brother named Harold Russell. And this sister's name, sister out of Orlando, Candace Cruz, started working with us. She had a, what was it called? What was the name of her organization? But she had an organization dealing with young women and young girls who were runaways and victims and trying to get them back right, working with them to get them right. And she started working with us. And so I was like, why did she start working with us? And she said she noticed that a common denominator of so many of these sisters, young girls who got caught up, was the music, the effects of the music. And we know that, they know that, so why are we promoting stripping? Why is the NBA promoting that? But again, the organized masses putting that pressure on them got them to get rid of that strip club night. So that was a victory for the people. But that brother D1 got so much flack. It was funny because he got banned from strip clubs. And he was like, I don't go anyway. But you know, to him, that was like a compliment that he was banned from strip clubs. So, I mean, the NBA continues to allow these sort of things to go on. And we did a piece a while back, and again, CNN covered it after the Kyrie issue, where we said five things that the NBA should do if they want to end the hate. Again, calling hypocritical for just dealing with Kyrie and not dealing with the Curry piece, even though this was before Curry came out as one of the executive producers of that Good Times Black Again. But we talked about not allowing, not having these ratchet artists at these All-Star Game weekends, not playing the ratchet music at the games. Another thing was sanctioning these rappers for dropping N-bombs. Matter of fact, Professor Rye, we mentioned you because we talked about have some sensitivity as you do this, as you sanction them, as you put out texts, first give them warnings and put out texts, and then if they keep on doing it, do like they just did Jalen Duren. Jalen Duren just got chastised, and he probably got fined for saying a homosexual slur. That was earlier this year, a couple months ago. Jalen Duren did that, and he got sanctioned. You know, so Sam, when they drop in bombs, we can do the same thing. And we said we need to have some sensitivity training, watching yourself and a couple others who, hey, make the players. The players, they need to have sessions with you all. And also, when they get fined, we want that fine money like they do with other places that get fined. We want some of that fine money, those resources, to go to groups who are dealing with this violence and this disrespect to black people in particular, especially if that's what they're getting fined for, dropping these N-bombs. So we shared that. We shared that with the NBA and what have you. They want to give a quick last thing. I want to talk about this whole piece that happened at a college basketball game that we went to kind of recently. It was one of my teammates from high school. His brother was coaching at Tulane, so we went to the Tulane game. Me and him down in New Orleans, and they were playing Houston. Houston was ranked number one at that time, the Houston Cougars. And so as we get into the small gym, the Tulane High School, you know, college gym, got there early. They're playing the music. All of a sudden, here comes Glorilla. And, you know, you probably know Glorilla, but how are you going to have a name, Glorilla? And then her name is Gloria, but they move it over and they change it. They modify the name to a Glorilla. We just had people all up in arms because BH47 shared a picture depicting Barack Obama and his wife as apes. And her sister names herself. Or she says her uncle, somebody gave her the name, but she took it as a Glorilla. So they're playing a song by Glorilla, FUCNIG Free. FN Free. FNF is the name of the song. But they, on the video, sister's pregnant, they drinking hard liquor in the parking lot. This is a ridiculous, self-hating, man-hating, violent, ignorant song. They're playing this at the pregame. Then they play a song by Nardo Wick. Nardo Wick is a rapper who had a song called Who Don't Smoke. Over 100 million views on the song. And again, I wish I could play some of this stuff on here, but I can't really. But the song is basically about just mass shootings and killing people. It's him, Lil Durk, who's now locked up in jail, waiting trial for supposedly setting up a hit in Los Angeles that took place a couple years ago. Also has 21 Savage. 21 Savage is famous for the song Bank Account, where he says in the chorus, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 shooters ready to gun you down, ready to gun you down, ready to gun you down, ready to gun you down. Played on the radio in hot rotation. 21 Savage, by the way, he also had in that song, we're not with that YYS. We don't give no, it's cock. We don't give no F about who we hit. The same song, Bank Account. And 21 Savage, who, by the way, just paid for a young sister who got killed in Atlanta, just paid for her funeral. So again, he goes back to the whole thing about you do $1 million worth of damage and you do $20,000 worth of good. So 21 Savage, I said, Nardo Wick made the song. Lil Durk, another brother named Lil Herb, called G Herbo. The song was just ratchet and violent. So I was appalled. Most of the Europeans in there, just bouncing to it. The players, some African, of course, they knew what the song was, and a few Africans in there, and probably some of the students too, knew what they were saying in these songs. So we took it upon ourselves to write letters and to call the NAACP. We should have called them too, but that might have been a waste. But the NCAA and Tulane University. Tulane University responded. Their athletic director, assistant athletic director, called us, and we had a conversation. And she shared that she did not know that this was going on, that these were the lyrics in the song, and she assured us that this would not be happening anymore at Tulane games. She assured us of that. And it's ironic that this took place in New Orleans, because right around this time, New Orleans was just complaining that they had 275 carjackings and 276 murders. Between the murders and the carjackings in New Orleans. And then the radio song comes on, and they're playing, Kodak Black? Yeah, Kodak Black song about, he's a gremlin, and in the chorus of that song, called We Could Have Been Superstars, remember when we were jacking cars. So a song about carjacking on the radio that stayed in rotation, probably for a year. Yeah. Literally, you can have this song stayed in hot rotation on radio stations throughout the country. And who was singing the song again was children. We could have been superstars. Remember when we were jacking cars? It's utterly, utterly ridiculous. So the NBA's connection to this needs to be addressed, needs to be dealt with. Just like Tulane did it on that level, it needs to be done on the whole NCAA level. It can be done, it must be done, and the NBA level, because this is the type of crap that they play all the time, that they, you know, it gets rewarded. it gets awarded shows, and so just stay, keep your ears tight on what they're playing and what they're doing. Right now, I'm seeing a lot of people complaining about the number of wounded, shot and killed, whether it be domestic violence or just random shooting like the one that just took place in Detroit the other day at the gas station. His brother and sister got killed along with another cat in Chicago. Also, a few days ago, three people were shot and killed in the middle of the day in a shooting. One was a sister. This brother who does his talk show, Salute Me, Wakil, said black women or African women are 6 times more likely to be homicide victims than white women, than European women. 6 times more likely. When it comes to African, I'm checking myself after I heard that, we are 8 times more likely to be homicide victims than European males. I've shared this before, we'll share it again. In the year 2020, there were 200 rappers who died. In 2021, there were 250 rappers who died. And of the 250 that they documented, 200 of them died from gun violence. So if you know these numbers, if you have these stats, if you see where African people are the only people who has homicide is in their top 10 causes of death, when you see that for African people between the ages of 1 and 40, it's the number one cause of death, why in hell are we still allowing this music to be played on these radio stations that specifically target our children and youth, telling us to kill each other, calling us ends, making us hate each other, disrespecting our women, misogynistic B-bomb, H-bomb, thought-calling songs, totally disrespecting our women. They got us so gone, Carter G. Wilson explained it best. They got us so gone right now that, you know, they don't have to send us to the back door to go out of it now. We go do it to ourselves. If there ain't no back door, like you said, we'll cut one out. We start doing it as overall, especially as men dropping N-bombs on ourselves. But it was 10 years ago, I believe, when Cardi B Gone came out in 2016. And since then, you can't even hear a female rapper on popular radio unless she's acting like a harlot, a violent harlot, disrespecting herself. You can't even hear it. So this is still a struggle. We've had something called rap fatigue. I think we talked about it here that lasted for a little while. But now I'm hearing somebody last week talk about black fatigue. The brother was saying he's tired of being, it's fatigue. Now they call him black fatigue. Spring breaks in Houston, all the debauchery and the violence taking place there. So now they go from black fatigue, which we should have stayed on, and now they're talking about black fatigue. So a lot of work to do, y'all. NBA, as popular as it is, as much as we watch it, shouldn't be sanctioning this crap. But we got to organize to do something about it. One of the things that we are going to do, and I'll leave it at this last point, coming up, back in 2019, the National Congress of Black Women, National Black Leadership Alliance, and the Clear Everest Project worked with the New York City Council, in particular City Councilwoman Inez Barron, to introduce a resolution condemning the ratchet killer radio stations, the European killer radio stations, by the way, Hot 97 and Power 105, one of them's home of the Breakfast Club, where they play a lot of this kill black people music. And that was introduced to the city council in 2019. A similar resolution got passed in Gary in 2017, I believe, condemning the Chicago area radio stations. And a year before that, in Delaware, condemning the Philadelphia radio stations by the city councils in both of those cities, it passed. But this one in New York, which was introduced, is still laying dormant. It has not been heard in 7 years. So when Bob passed, we said people always said the best way to honor that fallen warrior is to pick up that fallen weapon and continue that fight. So it is our quest to get before the New York City Council and get this resolution heard by June. June is Black Music Month, and it was June 2019 when we introduced this resolution, again, in support of the FCC sanctioning, upholding the decency standards, because they have decency standards that said you can't play this profane and indecent content between 6 o'clock in the morning and 10 o'clock at night. After 10 o'clock, they give them a little leeway, but obscene content is never allowed. And they haven't been sanctioning these radio stations for doing this. So we're condemning those with them with those with that resolution. But that y'all, we just wanted to again touch on that, and again just equating this to this NBA, because the NBA is like, you know, that's the age of these cats, man. These cats are, we're not mad at them, we're not blaming them, but they still don't need to be going to check, and it shouldn't be checked. They're getting checked for everything else they do. They're getting checked for they say anything about anybody else or any other group that feel marginalized or offended. But it's okay to drop the N-bombs on us and disrespect us.
Interesting, brother. Very interesting. I'm going to go around the panel for questions and comments. Brother Ahi. You there? Come back to him. Brother Mashinda.
Yo, what's up?
What's going on, brother?
Oh, it's all good. You know, so good presentation, you know, good observation and good work, you know, because you always come on and, you know, tell us your latest battles and some of it is the continuous battle. So you just give us an update on what's going on. We appreciate that, you know, because it's important to, you know, what's what's this causing the subliminal seduction, you know, and but anyway, you know, as you know, the NBA, as it relates to the NBA and say hip hop or rap or anything like that, you know, I think, you know, personally, I think they complement one another. You know, I mean, it's not, you know, I watch basketball and I'm not, I think the whole point of this whole conversation is we're trying to uplift people, you know, trying to get them to a point to see where this is destructive. You know, do you know what you're doing, you know? And it's pretty basic, you know, but you know, the brothers in the NBA, and there's brothers that do not engage in, you know, or agree with, you know, what some of these guys are saying in those lyrics and things like that. But then there's a whole lot of them that they brought up on it, and that's what they listen to, and they compliment each other. You know, you watch different podcasts, you know. Like I say, I take a social scientist point of view and I watch it and I see how they interact with one another. Like, hey, I want to be you. Hey, I want to be you. You know, that kind of thing. You know, they look up to each other, you know, because music is kind of like universal in our lives. And then sport is, you know, but music isn't anything. Music isn't religion. Music is just music. And so it permeates, you know, but so the guy that's in the NBA, he gets his vibe together before the game, listening to certain artists, you know, but it's unfortunate that, you know, there's a business arrangement out there, you know, that says that, hey, we have to subliminally seduce the minds of folks, and, you know, because they understand how vulnerable the mind can really be when you're not conscious, you know, you're kind of vulnerable when you don't really know what time it is. And so let's market it, you know, let's make some money off of it, you know. And unfortunately, and the people who choose to play, you know, it's like brothers who go to the military. Oh, let's see. It's like brothers who go to the military. They're not going to fight a war. They just try to get some benefits and stuff like that, you know. So they go to the NBA. Hey, I'm going to make some money, man. It's not, you know, now all the politics and what we do and what we represent, you know. And again, there's a lot of good guys that, you know, that rep, you know, that have good, you know, they're a good role model, as they say. Like Charles Barkley say, he wasn't a role model. Well, you know, people are paying attention to you when you're on that high level, you know, that platform. So, so, you know, but he likes to be contrary sometime and, you know, go against the grain anyway. That's his style. But all in all, man, you know, good work. You keep up the good work, man. You know, we always appreciate you coming on and chopping it up with us. And but, you know, I'm not, you know, so I guess sometimes we can give some of the guys in the NBA too much credit. You know, the fact that what they listen to or what they promote, like say the strip club, you know, it's all a mindset, whether you're a rapper or an NBA player. If you're caught up in a mindset you know, this, you know, you need to be dealt with, you know, not in a negative sense, but you need to come to realization. But thank you, Brother Kwabena.
Appreciate it, Brother Masinda. And if I want to, just real quick, before we go to the next one, but even in high school, we were playing high school basketball too, and I recall a Waka Flocka song, Only David, the song, they talk about lynching, hanging in. And this was with the players in the circle before the game. They all sing this song, Only Do It, getting hyped before the song, over a song that talks about killing black people. And I agree with you. We still gotta get them right. Like I said, they get them right. If they say anything offensive about any other group, they get addressed. But when it comes to dropping them bombs or this other stuff, yeah.
Yeah. If they only knew the massive effect of all of this, I wonder what would they do if they knew. They don't, evidently they don't know it. And then they value, what they value is not what they should value, but you get turned out. Just like Brother Masinda said, people are so mentally impressionable in how they were raised. It's a powerful mechanism that's unfortunately, you know, makes things not good. Brother Ahi?
Yes. Can you hear me? Good evening, brothers. How are you?
Good, man.
I'm doing well. Thank you, brother. I think there's enough blame to go around. You know, the crack dealer knows the effect of the drug that he puts out there, because he deals with the victim all the time. They coming back, he can look, he communicates with them. He trying to find out how to sell more money. He knows the product that he's giving out there. The musician, and especially some of these people who live this life, because most of them don't live their life. They don't live their life. It's a small percentage of those people who are actually gangsters, a deadly type of people. And those same people who narrate their lifestyle don't want their children to have anything to do with that. They moving from the neighborhood, they putting them in private schools. They know exactly the effect of the music that they're putting out there have on their patrons. These NBA players who have been trained since children, going through AAU, and you have to have a certain type of personality and present a certain type of temperament. You have to learn that as well as have talent. You know, some of the most talented people aren't in professional sports because they don't have the temperament and they don't know how to play the game outside off the field. They know. LeBron and them putting forth these images of how they're present fathers and have the special shots of hugging my children. I'm taking them to the interview. I'm doing all of this stuff. The NBA is probably the one league where the players have, what is the league where the players have the most power. And if they decide that we're not going to do something, it's not going to get done. Because it's all about them making that money, the boss is making that money, and they're going to appease these players as much as they can to keep that money coming in. Yes, a lot of us are gullible. A lot of us are ignorant. And it leads to self-destruction. But basically, what these devils are doing is not loading the gun, but taking a box of bullets, taking the gun and handing it to them and letting you load them and blow your own brains out or each other's out. So we have to hold not only the owners, but we got to come harder at the players. You have to be more responsible and more accountable to your people. Even though we know who the majority of people that are your patrons that are paying to come in are white folk, But you are the star attraction. And we're just going to have to hold them and the musicians. You know better. We're going to have to find a way to hold them more accountable and be stronger at our parenting game, because our children are just falling for this stuff. It's not funny anymore. You know, so it's enough land to go around. Thank you, brother, for coming in. As again, it's very thought-provoking, and it's something that's very prevalent that we're facing it. Our little girls want to grow up, they're hit, and their models are hookers, are sex workers. Our little boys want to grow up, they want to be thuggish, they want to fight all the time, they don't want to be problem solvers. Their problem is to annihilate. The way they solve it is to annihilate your enemy. So I don't know where we go, but it is thought-provoking, and it's something that we do talk about, but it's the conclusions. I mean, coming to a conclusion on how we're going to fight for the survival of our people, and we're losing it through art or life imitating so-called art. It's tragic. Thank you, brother.
Right on, brother. You know, but we got some examples of some victories. We got to just do better with our organizing and mobilizing this whole piece. And the biggest, like after we did the Chicago and Philly area, we specifically said, let's do New York. It's the biggest city in the country. Once we get that, you know, we can follow suit with the other cities. And I think that Tulane piece was good. I think even getting Netflix to this this Ratchet cartoon was good. So we got to put it at work, man. And I do want to say too, brother, where it used to be like that rapper, The Boss, when we found out that she was just a studio gangster back in the day. But I'm telling you, man, like right now though, man, a lot more of these youngsters, even though they may not be in gangs, but they packing and they living this life. You know, as noted with that, those statistics about the 200 rappers who died in 20 and 250 and 21, and we see so many all the time. I mentioned Lil Durk. I mean, he's in jail right now for setting up a kill because somebody killed one of his other homeboys that was a rapper. And it's so prevalent right now, man. A lot more are straight up into this gangster stuff, man, because we've been so indoctrinated with the music.
Gangster with words. It used to be about business. Gangsters was about business. This ain't about business. What is this about? This ain't. It's not like they're making money. Their feelings getting hurt and they're killing each other. What is this about?
That's what the music says to do. I put the lyrics to that song in the chat. So close your eyes before you even read them. But this is what LeBron was repeating back in 13, some 13 years ago. This is what he was repeating, referring to when he said, "I ain't got no words."
Yeah. I'm in control.
Yes.
Thanks, Ernest.
Well, I'm trying to. You know, a lot of this is new to me because I don't listen. I don't think I've ever listened to a rap song, you know, because that negative, I say, hey, I don't need that. And then that's an excellent presentation he gave. And even last time when he was saying the music, because I've always thought the music kind of contributed to this high suicide rate we got now among young blacks. You know, you listen to this crap, the corrupting the mind, and then they, you know, want to go out and repeat that kind of stuff. So, because you just flashed up something there, like a lot about Lil Wayne, and in my mind, I thought Lil Wayne had some good rap stuff, you know, but you know, because I used to kind of tease my daughters, hey, it's every time somebody come on TV when this stuff would first start coming about, you know, I was saying, well, that must be Lil Wayne, till I, you know, got to know what he looked like, you know, looking at some TV shows. But as far as listening to the lyrics and stuff, I'm still in the back in the Four Tops and the Clovers, the Drifters, the Platters, the Five Keys, the Dominoes. That's where my mind is as far as the music go, you know.
Don't look at that chat. Don't look at the chat.
Yeah. So, So, you know, so this is like what you, but I know exactly what you're saying, because I, you know, the presentation we had last night about the suicide rate, this probably is contributing a lot to that, you know. So, and then now I've always thought it was wrong. They always say that about when you have like monitor sensors that sense stuff, they need to get that back, you know, because their complaint was always, well, who are you to censor my stuff when your stuff is causing this negative, harmful stuff on society? They shouldn't have even allowed it to be played, you know. So, but you know, you right about that. So, good luck with that presentation to the city, because they should outlaw, you know, should not be allowed on the airwaves. But like you say, they see what it's doing to us, so they're probably happy about that.
Oh yeah. So,
yeah. So.
But Brother McBride, so that I was like your point about the suicide and this mental issues that constantly listen to this crap when it is new to you. I had to get to the point where I stopped saying I'm listening to it. I'm just monitoring. Yeah. But I was feeling down the other day, recently on a trip, and I started playing some music in my car. I played a song by Champagne, Can You Find a Time? I started singing that. Then I played Could It Be I'm Falling in Love by the Spinners.
Right.
Yeah. That uplifted me.
Yeah, yeah.
How you going to get uplifted by these songs that's calling you in and telling you to kill each other? So are you, I mean, they got a lot on them. They got a lot on them. And these two know exactly what they're doing, man.
Yeah,
what they're doing.
All right, thanks, Professor Rock.
Everybody got it, Brother Kwame Nnamdi. It's good to see you. Good to hear you. And we deeply appreciate all the research and analysis that you give us concerning, you know, these young people and what they're listening to and how it's affecting them. And but you're trying to do something about it. That's what's beautiful about your presentation, you and your various organizations and support team. And it's a struggle because you're up against a multi-multi-trillion-dollar business and you're up against a culture. America culture is violence. It began in violence. Martin Luther King said, America is the biggest purveyor of violence. H. Rapp Brown said, that violence is as American as apple pie. And then the same thing with sex. These have always been freaks. I mean, and what happened is when you acculturated, you began behaving like the white guy. I mean, there was white folks been singing crazy songs and doing crazy stuff, biting chicken heads off in the middle of the show and doing all kind of stuff with heavy metal and all that. And what happened is, you know, you got the women singing today, they come out half naked, go get their breasts with silicone in them so they can puff out. We got plastic booties. I mean, and you know, sex. And that, for whatever reason, they have a following. My point is this. I used to hang out with entertainers. And even before crack, before LSD and before that, they were doing crazy stuff when I was hanging out with them. Gambling, abusing women abusing them. I mean, it is ridiculous. And then, you know, we had a thing about these black entertainers and athletes marrying white women. I mean, I think Clyde Frazier, he married a groupie, a white groupie. Almost half the team that had her. You understand? But you can't tell them anything. And you think, brother, that smooth wouldn't do it. And this guy who plays for Indiana,
Halliburton.
Yeah. He jumps up and say he don't date no black women. Because his mama was white, and he grew up around white people. That was his excuse. And I'm just saying that they're going to have a political or cultural structure to keep them from doing these things. It's like Muslims don't eat pork, even though they pass by the Wiener Schnitzel, even though they pass by people out there cooking pork and doing that stuff, because their culture, their theology don't allow. They're very disciplined for the most part, but even some of them trip out. Because, you know, they very few of them marry Muslim sisters. They want a freak. You understand? And I done hung with them, man. I mean, and seen it. And I'm just saying this, that what these young people are doing, these NBA players, not all of them do it. Not all of them do it. The majority of them do not participate in that. First of all, just a three-year, let me call you back. You got 3 years stretch in the NBA, most players. Then they go down to G League or they try to play somewhere foreign. It's superstars, and they're high profile. They're high profile. If you add up all the athletes in every sport, they only come up to about 10% of the United States population. Football, baseball, soccer, hockey, all of them, you know, only come up to about 10-15%, but they're high profile. Second, many of them are young and dumb. Many of them, sometimes that first woman that they really had is after they became an NBA player or a top college player. You understand? I mean, and they get turned out. Get turned out, man. You know, when you go to college and you meet a sister and she getting high and you supposed to be macho man, you're going to start getting high with her. And she turns you out. There are older women there. And I mean, it's pathetic. LeBron James' son was dating a white girl. I mean, it happens all the time. We need to address it because, as you say, many of these people are our young people, heroes and heroines. You understand? Heroes and heroines. Look at Serena and her sister Venus. They didn't marry no black man or have babies by black men. You understand? It's sad. But because they don't have a political or cultural position, that they're the natural enemy, and they have historical amnesia as far as what they've done to our people historically, that make you want to say, I don't want to even deal with you. You have to be trained and disciplined and almost to not be sublimely seduced by the society. Tupac got popped at 24, 20-something years old. Biggie got killed at 26. Some of them were singing about songs that they didn't even live. Half these cats don't even live the life they be singing about. You understand? That's what Drake and the boy went to Centennial, Rashidi, Kendrick Lamar was fighting about. You're a punk, you're a chump, you ain't never did all this stuff. Man, and it's just crazy. But, you know, when you're making that kind of money, you know all kind of hustling women going to come at you. And then you go to these white parties wearing number drugs and freaks. And then you got a guy like Puff Daddy giving parties for freaking off. You know what I mean? And the cat get caught in that. Some cats, they walk out and say, I don't want to be a part of it. Because they're not spiritual. They're not spiritual. And they want pieces of forbidden fruit. And my point is, what you're doing is very seriously needed to wake some of them up, to expose the subliminal seduction that these media icons and franchises do. I went to a Motown party, a picnic. They wouldn't let no drugs be used openly. You know, cats may go in the bathroom and did. I played basketball with Marvin Gaye, Michael Jackson, them, and we're out somewhere in California. They used to have an annual picnic, Mount Motown. And one of my partners, his woman was a part of the Motown staff, so she got us in. And it was a beautiful day. I went to another party with Atlantic Records. It was drugs and all white people. Drugs and white, freaking off all over the place, man. All you saw, but that was when they were just snorting cocaine. They wouldn't crack then. My point is that America is a drug culture, a violent culture, and a sex culture. And you can get caught up in it easy. And sometimes you think you're entitled to that. You're entitled. You want to be a gangster. And you ain't never even had a gun in your life until you got older. Never shot nobody, never did nothing. But you want to... What about these cats cheating in sports and they NBA players and football players shaving points? Referees doing it? This is a decadent society. They see it as a society that the only thing you're guilty of is getting caught. Most NBA players file bankruptcy within 3 years after they're out of the NBA. All you got to do is check it. You know, they be broke, man. Because they used to what? When you get it, spend it. And if you ain't got no agents and you ain't got, like, what's the boy that played for Philadelphia that was a little guard? Iverson, Michael Jordan, them, they signed long-term contracts with shoe deals and stuff. So they get a check coming in all the time. Well, look at this boy that's the boxer. They talk about he about money on it. What's that? He live in Vegas. He's not a heavyweight. He's a welterweight. He ain't lost a fight.
That's the Money the Floyd.
Yeah.
Mayweather.
I mean, this cat, you know, he over in another country getting in trouble. Betting and hustling. Yeah, and he's a multimillionaire, and he's doing stupid stuff. If you don't have a strong, he said, if you don't have a strong family and a strong spiritual or cultural consciousness, boy, America make you think this is what you're supposed to do when you're a celebrity. You know, I mean, here's the president of the United States getting sued for a sexual assault and losing the suit. And then getting sued again for harassing the woman. And then here and getting busted for 14 felonies of fraud, real estate fraud. I mean, this is America. That's the true America.
And they didn't realize it.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, don't get caught up in Americanism. And as Ahi and you are saying, you have to educate our young people at an early age. Because they'd be thinking, when you go to a team, if all that gambling and chasing women is a part of that team culture, you in. Unless you got strength, say, I ain't going to do it. If you're a star. Because just like most kids, their parents took them to church. Most of the dudes that get t- turned out. Their partner took them to a party to get them turned out. Or their woman took them to a party to get them turned out. And so I'm just saying that we have to educate, and hopefully save some of them. But the majority of our people, I mean, I would go back and as I conclude, I don't know if Ernest, you remember that song, Giggling? That was back in the 50s almost. And the guy said, when she walked by, my penis froze. But he didn't say penis. And they had they went crazy, NAACP and everybody. And they took that record off the market. But right now, it's like they sell you cigarettes, they sell you filth. Soap operas never had sex in them until the 70s and the 80s. That's why they call them soap operas. They're for wives that stayed at home and washed. They'll wash clothes. And they didn't have all that sex in them. Now, every movie, you can't take your kids to a movie. You can't take your kids to a movie without them seeing sexual simulations of oral sex, anal sex, all of that in a movie that you thought you was going to see a nice movie. Man, it's a whole new different thing out there, man, in this society. But it's always been that way since it started. It ain't changed. It just found different ways to do it and to promote it. And we have to raise our children, our grandchildren, and talk about these things at an early age so that they don't get caught up in it and try to save as many of them as we can. That's my point.
Man, right on, Professor. And that's why, like I said, we put in that piece, you know, brothers like yourself, man, we need to have these sessions with these athletes. That's part of what we got in there, some sessions with them. Even going back to last week, you know, with the discussion with our brother Craig Hodges, you know, just talking about the influence of what he got when he was in college and how it's just stayed with him, man. And we got to have that.
Yeah, man. College didn't work. Ain't nothing but a drug factory at college.
Yeah, I know. Like I always tell everybody, you know, seeds are being planted, and hopefully they grow at some point. Because I know I used to listen to Professor Rob back, you know, when I first met him and all of that. And it took some years for, you know, the seed to grow, you know, to flourish into something. So at least, you know, you get, the kids need to be exposed because those seeds could kind of ferment later on. So I think that's great, Kwabena, that you guys are making the moves that you're making, because somebody got to sound the alarm. It's like, people are just losing their minds and then you get this amount of money, and then you don't even know how it's being used half the time when you allow your money, like Curry, allow his money to have that type of show, that animated show of Good Times. And how aware was he of that? I don't see how he could, in good conscience, you know, do that. It's sickening. And, you know, and these guys, you listen to them talk and you listen at the stories about them doing this and that. And then you turn around and put your foot in your mouth doing something contradictory. So it's a challenge.
A lot of them catch their agent do it.
What's that?
The agents, man. You'd be surprised at the athlete that makes more donations to Jewish and white philanthropic organization versus black ones. They don't give hardly nothing. The independent black schools or anything. Now there are some that are doing things, building apartments and doing that. But many of them, they don't even control their money. I was hanging out with Charlie Scott. I don't know if y'all remember him.
Oh yeah.
Charlie Scott. We're down in Hollywood. We're hanging out.
Yeah.
He had to call his agent to get some money to buy some things. You understand? I mean, you'd be surprised the cats, man. I mean, you know, they get an allowance, and when they get out their allowance, they have to call their agent to get some money. You know, because they spend all their allowance, they put them on a budget. But most of them break the budget, man. I'm telling you. That threw me off. You understand? We went shopping in Hollywood, and he couldn't even buy nothing unless he called his agent. I'm right there with him. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. So, Kwabena, any last words before we do our close this evening?
It's been powerful, man. The feedback, all of it's been very important. It's just if we're in a situation, man, the sister's getting shot, 15-year-old, you know, shooting 14-year-old, shooting 15-year-old, and this stuff is just going on, and it's all promoted and pushed by this music. And, you know, something's got to give. So we just got some work to do. Again, we're going to keep doing what we're doing and try to do things a little bit better. We open to other ideas and just got to put in that work, man. Our music is so powerful, and the effects of our music is it's so powerful. We got to change it. We got to get back control. Clear Airways Project is our movement, so check it out. I did put the lyrics to that song again in the chat. Or Robert Ernest, you can look at it real quick. But again, close your eyes before you look at it.
I can't see it. You close my eyes.
That's how bad it is, Professor. That's how.
I hear you. Make you want to cut it off.
Man.
Well, appreciate everything, Brother Kwabena. And next week, we have your brother on the show, Brother Straw. He's a guest next Wednesday. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that should be fun. He's a basketball encyclopedia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, his memory is impeccable. It's something else. Yeah, so we're going to have some fun with him next week. Hopefully you can come by.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
You can invite the family. I like when I have the family on, man. That's real good when your family come on.
Okay, yeah, it's a good idea. Right on.
Professor Rob, we got anything next Tuesday?
I have to call you in the morning, and nobody verified. I got feelers out there.
Okay.
I'm gonna get somebody good. It'll be somebody good.
All right. Well.
Okay.
We're gonna do our close, each one teach one, and Conscious Corner. Everybody continue to have a great day.
Keep up
the great work.
All right.
Peace.
All right.
All right.
Peace.
See you later.
Thanks. Yeah, Kwabena.
Bye, bro. Appreciate you all.
All right.